Hello, this is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Welcome to the show this evening. Look, I'm just going to straight off the bat here, Zach, talk about the fact that I have had a struggle in my life over the past few years. I'm going to be very open and vulnerable about it on air tonight. I'm hopeful I can help other people with the same struggle, and I'm hopeful you give me the space to do this.
Is this about the
dairy-related... It is.
...temptation you've had?
Look, I can confirm the rumours. I have a cheese problem. I have had this problem for a number of years now. Those close to me have picked up on it. I've had interventions held. It's a pretty serious issue, my cheese problem.
If you'd like to see how serious Dom's cheese issue has got, there is a video on Collective Noun's Facebook right now, but we can spin this into a good thing, Dom.
Well, this is what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that I can use my pain to help others struggling as well. That maybe we can band together with a sort of cheese addict support group to get through this one together.
If you feel like you enjoy cheese, maybe a little too much, we're here to help.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, My Kitchen Rules has been killing it in the ratings over the last couple of weeks. I know that MasterChef comes back next week. I think the key for a TV network to get huge ratings is one of these reality cooking shows.
Well, the only major network without a big one is Channel 9. They I know they've got The Block, but they must look on every year, you know, when MasterChef and MKR are killing it in the ratings and think, you know, if only we could get one that worked ourselves. Or even ABC or SBS, one of the smaller channels. They'd love to have one.
That's right, Dom. And I think why they don't have one is because they don't know how to make one of these primetime cooking shows. So what I've done is I've started my own cooking show.
Oh, have you?
And what I do on my cooking show, instead of teaching people how to make different foods, I teach people how to make primetime cooking shows. I'll give you a little listen. Welcome to How to Make a Primetime Cooking Show. First up, start with 2 to 3 celebrity chefs. Now, I've gone with Pete and Manu, but you could use George and Matt if you want. Or if you're on a budget, even Huey will do in a pinch.
You couldn't find a female host?
Not on commercial TV, no.
Okay, what's next?
Add a generous cup of infighting, incessant ads on TV, and lots of dramatic music.
What about the cooking?
Yeah, you could add a pinch of cooking if you'd like, but it's definitely not necessary.
For a cooking show?
No, gets in the way of the drama. Now, just put that on your TV schedule and bam, there you go. Instant ratings.
I'll just take a taste. Oh, it seems a bit stale. I think it needs some fresh ideas.
Oh, no can do, sorry. We ran out of those years ago.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you are addicted to cheese, we're here to help. You see, we put a video up on our Facebook page earlier this evening of Dom and his cheese addiction.
Very brave of me to share, might I just compliment myself, pat myself on the back for that. I was very vulnerable in that video.
There is a shot of you eating a whole wheel of brie, and a few comments did suggest that maybe we only made the video because Dom wanted to eat brie straight from the box. But you say no. You say it was a genuine expression.
No, if anything, it was an added bonus.
Well, another comment gave us an idea, Dom.
Yep.
Steve says, guys, you should spread this out. You should start a cheese support group. And I thought, Dom, that's such a great idea. We have this radio show.
We do.
So on 131060, are you addicted to cheese? Well, what was your latest cheese binge?
I think this is a social service that we're offering, Zach, and it's one that so far hasn't existed.
Dom, I think we invite you as the first person into our cheese support group.
Tell us
about your first cheese binge.
Well, it all began for me in high school. Zach, Mum was having friends over for dinner and put out a cheese platter of a few blocks of cheddar and some cookies, biscuits, crackers even. I think there were around about 25 people coming, so enough cheese for 25. The first guests arrived and Mum exclaimed from the kitchen, "Where'd all the cheese go?" I was sitting there next to the platter, looking suspicious, with crumbs around my mouth.
So you ate 20 serves of cheese that were meant for the dinner party.
The dinner party had no cheese.
Well, was that a party at all?
Oh, it was a party for me that night, Zach, but not for anybody else, unfortunately.
Did you go on to more binges in your life? I know that was an early binge.
That was an early binge, but my form continued strong. There was the time that I once was having a bowl of spaghetti bolognese and happened to have an entire packet of shredded mozzarella cheese on one bowl of... To be honest, you couldn't see much spaghetti or bolognese sauce.
Was it a small bag of mozzarella you put on?
It was the family pack.
You put a family pack of mozzarella on one serving of spaghetti bolognese.
You're not meant to shame me.
Sorry, I'm just getting clarification. This is helping you. I know we're here for you. The point. But I just need clarification.
The point of this segment is not to shame people who struggle with cheese.
Not at all. Not at all.
Well, just watch your tone. Is all I'm saying there.
Because, it needs a bigger pack. Family pack, it needs one higher, and that's a Dom pack.
The Dom pack, yeah, 100%. And it's gotten even recently, Zach. I've shared on this radio show numerous times about how I've been pulled up at supermarkets buying a wheel of brie, and they've said, big party plan tonight, and I've said, quite ashamedly, no, this is just for me.
Oh, thank you for sharing, Dom. It's a one person. I hope you feel like that this support group has helped you, and you're not alone.
Well, thank you, Zach. It feels good to get this off my chest, and I'm hopeful that we can help other people as well.
131060, tell us about your cheese binge.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Welcome to the first meeting of this cheese support group. I want to make it very clear from the outset, Zach, this is a safe space for people to share about their cheese binges. There will be no cheese shaming going on in this space.
Of course not.
We have Kana on 131060. Kana, your cheese addiction is so severe that you found the way to get the best cheese pizza.
Yep, so Domino's Pizza has the four cheese deluxe.
Yep.
I get that, double the cheese.
Eight cheeses.
And cheesy crust. Okay, right.
Nine cheeses.
Nine cheeses. Wow, Kana. Aaron, how often are you having this extra cheesy pizza?
I think that's a bit embarrassing to say.
That's okay.
That's okay.
You don't have
so
to share.
Very often.
We're going to assume it's every day.
Oh, I'm sure it is, Kana. I'm sure it is really nice. Well, look, take
four cheeses isn't enough.
No.
Come on, Domino's.
Especially if you're going to call it extra cheesy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think extra cheesy, if all the cheeses in the world aren't on that pizza, then it's not extra cheesy. So take a seat, Kana. You're very welcome here.
We have Chelsea and Shepparton. Tell us about your cheese habits.
Well, I am so addicted to cheese that I snuck two, like, wheels of camembert cheese into a nightclub and ate them there.
Okay.
That is excellent.
And I ate them sitting in the nightclub, and I was having the best time ever.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, Chelsea, that sounds like the best nightclub experience I've ever heard of. Did anyone around you ask questions? Did anyone see you, or did you do it secretly?
Well, I started off secretly, and as the night progressed, I got a bit more confident, and I didn't care what anyone thought, so I was eating it wherever and whenever I wanted to.
I imagine it would have made you quite popular in the nightclub when word got around that Chelsea had a wheel of cheese.
Take the camembert on the dance floor. That's outstanding, Chelsea. Well, thank you for sharing. It's very vulnerable of you. We got Cassie on 131060. Cassie, tell us about your cheese addiction.
I have to say that nightclub cheese thing just sounds the most amazing.
It is, Cassie. It is. We don't want to be enabling each other, but that's very good of you. What's your story?
Mine is my favourite thing to do is to get a thing of camembert and put it in the microwave and make it all melty, and then you eat it with plain chips.
Okay. Well, I'll be honest, I don't think that's a problem. I just think that's ingenious, Cassie.
All you need to do is get that into the nightclub. And you've got your perfect cheesy night.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. This is Dom's Google history.
I think you can learn so much about someone by what they search on the internet, Dom. That's why each week we go through your Google searches.
Mm.
You don't know what we found. You don't know what we're going to read out. But your job is to explain the weird and wonderful things that you have Googled.
The last time we did this was an absolute train wreck for me, so I'm quite nervous about going back into this territory.
There were some shockers.
There really were. How do you apologise to a possum? I think it was one of them. I'm really quite
How are you and the possum at the moment?
The possum and I are all good. I don't know if it was happy with me talking about it on the radio, but anyway, here we are. What have we got?
Okay, the first thing you Googled was animal related, actually.
Great.
Saturday at 5:11 p.m. Can magpies sweep in April?
Okay, that's a very fair question. I'm pretty sure a magpie flew near me, came down from a tree, flew right next to my head, and I can't be sure it was going for a swoop, but it was pretty close. But they're only meant to swoop from like September to December, aren't they? Springtime.
Yeah, when they have babies in the nest.
I didn't think they'd get some swooping in.
They didn't. Although, you just had a magpie that was close to you. You were magpie adjacent. And you're so scared of magpies, you thought it was sweeping.
Well, is it possible that this magpie took a while longer to find a partner?
Yeah.
And it's not having its kids till April?
I don't think so.
They can't all have them at the same time.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works.
I just think, like, what if this one was a bit unlucky in love and it took a few months longer and now it's in its swooping season?
I don't think that's how it works. Is that what Google said?
No, Google said that they don't sweep in April. So unless you particularly aggravate them. I should be okay.
The next thing you Googled, Friday at 1:38 p.m. Where is Britney Spears at the moment? I think I need to identify the police. This is the birth of a stalker.
No.
Well, she'd be in America, firstly. So
bear with me. I'm pretty sure I saw Britney Spears in Woolworths.
What, in Australia?
Yeah.
Or just in Woolies doing her shopping.
My local Woolworths. I think she was... No.
Okay, hang on. Okay. So you saw someone you thought was Britney Spears in Woolworths.
Yeah.
And you Googled, where is Britney Spears at the moment? Yeah. Hoping to get the return in Woolworths.
Oh, there she is. No, my thinking was, I wanted to see if she had like any tours on at the moment or any events that she was going to in America.
Yeah, local supermarkets.
Well, no, I just
think... supermarket tour 2018.
I just was wondering. I thought if there was a block in her schedule and no one knew where she was at the moment, it could be her. There's no saying it definitely wasn't. But she had something on that she was on in LA earlier that day, I'm pretty sure. So
do you regret asking for a photo with that person?
Well, it looked a lot like her. She was in the bakery aisle, funnily enough, buying a baguette. So, there we go. I mean, you can't put that in the newspaper in the spotted section. A Britney Spears lookalike buying a baguette at Woolworths. But for about 5 minutes, I was certain it was her.
The last thing you Googled, Dom, Sunday at 4:27 p.m. How hard is it to learn the pan flute?
Yeah, okay.
You want to join a Irish band, do you?
I've looked into the bagpipes before.
Too hard, is it?
Well, the bagpipes are quite difficult to learn. You need to have a great lung capacity.
You'd have that.
But also, bagpipes are like an expensive instrument to buy.
Okay, but a pan flute might be, what, under $100?
I reckon I could get a cheaper pan flute. And who doesn't love the sound of a pan flute?
Everyone.
That's not true.
It's very annoying.
What, you don't like pan flutes?
I'm not going to choose to listen to it. Maybe in Lord of the Rings it's okay, but I'm not going to listen to it day to day.
I would think the pan flute is top three instruments.
Top three?
You've got the piano, the guitar, the pan flute.
Then why isn't the pan flute in more bands?
Well, for the same reason you wouldn't put cinnamon in everything. It's a beautiful flavour, but it'll overpower other things. I think...
What, pan flutes over drums for you?
Yeah, completely. If you're faced with a decision, you're forming a band, and you're like, should we have a drummer or a pan flutist? Drop the drummer, get the pan flutist in. I'm just saying, I've never heard a song that couldn't be improved with pan flutes.
What we're doing is we're going to buy you a pan flute. And we're going to chart your journey.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. And then I can get in touch with Britney Spears when I next hear her words.
You guys can start a band.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, I saw a suspicious ad on Facebook Marketplace today. I'm not sure if this product is totally legit or not.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess that's what you get on Facebook Marketplace, isn't it? You delve into a myriad of confusing objects and pricing.
I will read out the ad that I saw.
Yep.
You tell me what you think of it.
Sure.
It's listed as free.
Okay, that's a good start.
Two big pot plants out the front of my house. They've got to go. Nothing too sus yet.
This sounds like a really good bargain so far. I know you're into your gardening. Two big pot plants for free. Bargain.
No need to contact me. Just rock up and take them.
Okay.
Then listed the address. Now, I'm suspicious.
Okay, yeah. No, this is... That's starting to sound a little bit suspicious.
I'm suspicious that the owner of the pot plants isn't the person who's put up this ad. That there's been a fight.
Right.
Possibly between two lovers.
Yep.
Someone's gone, you know what? I'm going to get back at them by getting rid of their two favorite pot plants out the front of their house.
That's pretty good. I mean, is there a picture of the pot plants?
Yeah.
Do they look like...
It's a picture a non-owner could take.
Right.
Especially if they're out the front of the house. You could just rock up and take them.
And do they look far too good to go for free?
They look too good for free, certainly. I was thinking like, geez, that's a pretty expensive pot at Bunnings.
Well, I mean, that puts you in an interesting moral situation. Right, because...
Well, I feel if I rock up to get them, the police might be called.
But legally...
And they might say this person's robbing me.
Legally, as long as we can bury the evidence of us talking about it on the radio, you can plead ignorance. You can say, well, how was I meant to know that the Facebook Marketplace ad wasn't right?
Yeah, that's true. It's a legal grey area.
There's a loophole there, certainly. Now, granted, if when you are getting the pot plants, the person runs out of the house and says, I'm not giving those away. What are you doing? You're stealing my pot plants. Then you might be in trouble.
I think this ad is one short of someone saying, free car parked on the road. All you need to do is kick down the door at this address, look for the keys inside the house. Now, if someone comes out and stops you, don't worry. That's my housemate playing a joke. Take the car and it's all yours.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Kanye West spoke about what he does with telemarketers.
You know, I keep them on the phone, you know, for 45 minutes at a time talking through things. It's like, it's kind of talk about my problems, using the energy, even like just them being a sounding board.
Also, Manu from MKR wasn't happy with the ending to the new Avengers movie.
Yeah, well, of course we love drama. Who doesn't love drama? You love a bit of tears, a bit of love, a bit of drama, a bit of everything. But that, it went far too far.
And Donald Trump found out that KFC's profits have doubled this year.
What do you think President Trump had to do with it? I'll tell you what. Like, how about everything?
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
If you've listened to the show before, you'd know that each week we ask, beg, nay, plead for 5-star reviews on the iTunes podcast store, aka the Collective Noun forum, aka the happiest place on the internet.
You took a real run-up to the microphone there. That was impressively done.
Thank you. I'm limbering up. I'm actually exhausted, if I'm honest.
Are you?
I had to run for the train today.
Yeah, right.
Well, I could hear it in the distance. I could hear the whistle.
Yeah.
And I looked at my time and I was like, it's early. You know, I had it down to the second.
Right.
I knew how long it would take me to walk to the train station.
Yeah.
I had to run 200 meters.
Yep.
Jeez, I haven't run in a while and I'm feeling it at the moment.
Did you get there in time?
I had to cross the line. So I had to go upstairs, downstairs. Jumping six at a time coming down. I came very close to tumbling.
Right.
I ended up making it easily. It was a bit embarrassing. I got to the bottom of the stairs and it was just fair.
Not leaving for 10 minutes, son. That's the conductor there. Well, look, the Collective Noun forum is so affordable to get into. All it's going to cost you is a 5-star rating on the iTunes podcast store. Search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave that 5-star rating as your admission price in. Then you can write whatever you want in the review and enjoy yourself in the forums.
Who do we have frolicking this fine eve?
We have Yeshua in, first off, who has just said that their review is titled Putting a Face to the Voice. They said, when I first started listening, I imagined Zach pretty much exactly as he actually looks, except for the tiny head. But do you have a tiny head? Is that an insult or a compliment? I take it as a compliment.
So hang on, wait. Is he saying that he expected me to have a tiny head? Or my head was smaller So this head is smaller than it sounds.
I think that's what Yeshua's saying. But they've gone on to say, but then I imagine Dom is a 40-year-old, well-tanned, surfy dude with dreadlocks having a raspy voice, which doesn't really make sense.
Because, I don't understand, Yeshua, why you assume Dom had a raspy voice when you can hear his voice.
You can hear the voice. The voice, and
that's not a looks thing.
And I've never met a 40-year-old tanned surfer dude who sounded like this. I kind of sound like the person who never quite made puberty. Do you know what I mean? My voice is a little bit too high.
Mm.
I think you wouldn't fit in the cool surfer community if you had a voice quite as high-pitched as mine.
What's the description of my head there again?
Well, they just say exactly, they expect you to look exactly as you do, except for the tiny head.
Okay, tiny.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say tiny. I think that's a little bit over the top.
Well, I guess all that Yesha's probably seen is in comparison to my head.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? They've only seen you in videos with me.
When we look at the data, Yeshua, and we look at Dom and I, and we think, has either of our heads had to be photoshopped in promotional material? And one of our sizes did have to change. They didn't increase the size of my head. They did decrease the size of Dom's.
You're right. My whole body got decreased. I don't think they just focused on the head. But yes, if you look at the picture, it looks a little bit odd.
Yeah.
They've certainly decreased me next to you.
And maybe that's what the effect is. Or maybe I have a tiny head. I've never measured it.
Well, that could be it. Maybe I never had a big head. Yeah. Maybe it's just in comparison to you, with your small eyes and your small head, now, my head looks large.
Similarly, your head isn't that big.
Thank you. And we can end this conversation there because
it is above average.
I'm going to use that graph
numerous
times.
It is above average, but there is also an optical illusion going on.
Shut up. What do you mean there's an optical illusion?
It's the shape of the face.
Oh my gosh,
makes the head look bigger.
Well, I'd rather have a big head than a misshapen face. So if the option's on the table, can we stick with the big head gear? Because that's less offensive.
Okay.
That's a little less hurtful. Yes, she was going on to say that they work at Coles in Mooloolaba, in Queensland, and reckon that we would do a great job in an advertising campaign.
For Coles.
For Coles.
Down. We have tiny head and big head finally coming, putting their heads together to come up with a great advertising campaign.
Well, look, I would say that, you know, I reckon I could be the face of Coles. I know that was Lisa McCune for many years.
Yeah, okay.
Who's it been? I guess Casey Donovan briefly when she did the Down Down ad.
Status quo.
I reckon I could be the face of Coles. Certainly the confectionery aisle.
I think what's being asked here is not a general ad for the Coles brand, but I think it's particularly for the Mooloolaba.
Mm. Coles. Oh, that's true. Okay, and
I actually have been to that Coles.
Have you been there?
Yeah.
What's it like?
Pretty good.
Pretty good Coles? Oh, you
close
might
close to the beach, close walk.
Wow.
You can get away with being barefoot, which is a good plus.
No, you can't get away with it.
You can. It's within sight of the beach, pretty much.
I don't know.
You could hear the waves. If you can hear the waves, it's okay to be barefoot.
I don't agree with that. If you're going into a Coles, put shoes on. I also realised...
But you wear enclosed shoes to the beach. I've been with you... And you had sneakers on the sand.
You just never know when you need to be formal. That's my theory. But also, can I just say, Yeshua might have seen your tiny head in person.
That's possible.
If you've been there, maybe that's what Yeshua's commenting from experience.
He goes, that person looks really familiar, but their head's slightly smaller than what I would have thought.
Well, a lot of people do say when they meet you, Zach, that they're somewhat startled by the small size of the head.
Mm, it's so much smaller in person, they say.
It's a little bit disconcerting how small the head is.
Seeing my head is like when you see the Eiffel Tower for the first time. You're like, geez, it looked a lot bigger in pictures.
Well, look, I mean, I'm happy. Are you happy to lend your small head to Coles Mooloolaba?
Well, what you don't actually know is that Coles is a rival of ours because they started Coles Radio.
Well, that's true. They did,
and that's a competitor.
That is a competitor. And I would love to. I've been pushing Aldi Radio for a long time.
We'll be the face of that.
Aldi Radio. Put us on, install it on Aldi, and it will just be me and you going through the unusual products they're selling there.
Yeah, we'd play German beer songs the talk breaks.
That will be, if this show doesn't work out for us. that's where you'll find us in 3 years. The show will disappear at the end of this year. You'll wonder, whatever happened to Collective Noun?
Yeah.
You'll be walking up the aisles of Aldi in 3 years' time, and you'll think, those voices sound familiar. Of course, back it won't be a networked show. It will just be in one specific Aldi. We'll be out back.
Probably at Mooloolaba.
Yeah, probably at Mooloolaba. We'll be out back in the staff room, in the break room, doing our show back there.
I don't see a problem with that.
we can adapt the segments we're already doing. I think it'll be great. Dom's Google history can be Dom's product history.
And the great thing is we'll be able to, if it's at an Aldi, sit down on the job. We won't have to stand up into the microphones.
That is all we've got time for on the forum tonight. If you do want to be a part of it, we'd love to have you on board. All you have to do is search for Collective Noun on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating as your admission price into the forum. Write whatever you want in the review, and we'll read it out next time on the show.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
I have to say, Zach, I reckon if you were Prince Louis, obviously the new child of William and Kate, you'd be pretty disappointed 2 weeks into your life. After the Queen has given you one of the all-time stinkers of a gift. in my opinion. I'm pretty mad about this.
What did the Queen do? I feel like his life's been pretty good so far. He's literally been born a royal.
Yeah.
You couldn't really be born into a wealthier family, really.
That's what you'd think, Zach. And when you've got the Queen as your great-grandmother, you would think the gifts would be incredible. I remember when I was a kid, I dreamt that I would be a prince, that I'd be one of the royals.
Yeah.
And large parts of that were because of the gifts.
What did she give? I would imagine it'd be something like New Zealand.
Yeah, well, you'd think that'd be a nice birthday present.
She'd say, hey, Louis, New Zealand's now yours.
That's it.
You can do whatever you want with it.
And that would be responsible grandparenting. But no, unfortunately on this occasion, Queen Elizabeth has rocked up, by the way, 2 weeks late to meet her great-grandson Louis, and all she's arrived with is a bunch of hand-picked flowers. Now, I've got a picture
That's
of
a little cheap. She's cheaping out. She didn't have to pay for that at all.
Have a look at the flowers. I've just given you a picture there. They don't even look that good.
She didn't get that many. There's half a dozen flowers there.
She's about to get in the car to go and visit Louis for the first time. She's thought, oh, crap, I forgot a gift. Give me a second. She's walked around the garden and picked out, I don't even know if they're in bloom, to be honest,
not only has she not spent any money on that gift.
Yeah.
It's not really that thoughtful.
No.
And then also, what's a baby got to do with flowers? That doesn't help at all. He can barely see colours.
It's probably going to make him sneeze or something. I'm honestly, give him a palace or something like that.
Even a plush toy would be better.
A plush toy. Come on, Lizzie. I just think, honestly, if the Queen's your great-grandmother and she rocks up with some hand-picked flowers, I think this might be the worst gift. I'm going to go out and say this. It might be the worst gift of all time, considering the circumstances that it's the Queen, that it's the royal family, that it's Prince Louis, and it's hand-picked flowers. I think this might be a contender for worst gift of all time.
I've given a worse gift than that.
Well, okay. What, you think you've gone worse than the Queen and some hand-picked flowers?
Certainly.
All right. And we'll open it up. 131060. If you've got a nomination for the worst gift of all time, what have you given?
Are you saying giving or receiving?
Giving or receiving. If you've given or received the worst gift of all time.
A gift I gave my friend for Christmas once.
Yep.
Do you know the 50-cent bargain bin at JB Hi-Fi for CDs?
Yeah.
I got one of them and I wrapped it up. And obviously the bands were never heard of.
Yep.
And my friend's like, oh, I haven't heard of these guys before. And I pretended that they were an indie band that I was really into. And I said, yeah, I've been listening to them. And I think you'll be really into it.
Zach.
I go, I was listening to it and I thought of you. And he's like, oh, cool, man. I actually felt so bad because he was like, that is so thoughtful.
What a thoughtful gift. Here's my friend wanting to share with me his favorite music.
He goes, I feel so bad, man. I didn't get anything for you.
Did he listen to the music? Do you know if they were any good?
It was like a saxophone led.
Oh, my God.
There was some weird stuff in that bargain bin. I had to come clean. I felt too bad. I was like, nah, I only paid 50 cents for it. Don't worry about it.
And that friendship still going strong?
I haven't talked in a few years.
131060, have you given or received a worse gift than that? To be honest, Zach, and this is a big call, I reckon Louis would have been happier with some dodgy 50 cent CDs than the hand-picked flowers from the Queen.
Cost 50 cent or the wrapper?
Either one. 131060, opening up nominations for the worst gift of all time.
Annalise, what's your worst gift?
Okay, so I received a pair of secondhand flared jeans that were three sizes too small for my birthday.
Okay.
Did the person know that it was too small? Why was it so far off?
Well, I work with them every day, so they would have known, you know, what size I probably was.
But... I'm suspicious that that gift wasn't meant for you, Annalise. And they found it around the house and they said, we could give that to her.
Well, see, my thinking on a matter, Zach, is that they've rocked up to work. It's Annalise's birthday. They've gone, oh, crap.
What's in the car? I've got some flared jeans.
Do you ever try to wear them, Annalise, or did they go straight into a Lifeline bin?
Oh, no. I gave them away to a friend who would fit them.
Okay. Well, at least they got it. They got a life
they live
out
on.
Of it. I think in those instances, better to give no gift than something from the car. We've got Bubba in Bendigo on 131060. What's the worst gift story you've got?
So my grandma used to give us the coloured popcorn in, like, for Christmas.
I love that popcorn. That's good stuff, Bubba.
I'm going to agree with Zach. How much did you get?
Well, my brother used to get it all because the other three of us didn't like it, so we just used to give it to him. And then along with that, we used to get pre-scratch scratchies.
But you can't do that. You can't do that.
Well, I mean, I guess if you won,
yes,
it's not
if
that
it's
bad.
If it's one that was set for life,
yeah,
and you're going to get 20 grand for the next 50 years or whatever it is,
yeah,
then I don't think you'd mind if it was already scratched.
Can I just say, I reckon Prince Louis would have been over the moon with some coloured popcorn.
Yeah.
I reckon if great granny Lizzie walks in with some coloured popcorn, that would have been much better than the handpicked flowers.
We have Grace in Brisbane. What's the worst gift you've got or received, Grace?
Well, a few years ago, I actually told a friend I got them this really great gift, and I kind of hyped it up. But when it came to her birthday, she didn't get her gift, and it's been about 5 years. I kept on making excuses because I never got her a gift.
Okay, right. So what you've done the classic oversell here, Grace, and instead of deciding, you know what, I'm just going to compromise and get a JB Hi-Fi gift card, you've thought it's better to just go with nothing at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So what are you saying at the moment, Grace? Are they still pushing you for it?
No. I just hope they never bring it up because for all they know, it's just being lost.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's true. I did have a friend once, actually, for my 18th, who said they got me a really touching gift and it was still in the post. And anyway, I'm 25 this year, so it's
still in the post somewhere?
I think that's still in the post.
I know some things get lost, but they don't circulate for 7 years.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, it is 10 minutes before tomorrow, which is the perfect time to play Day or Nay. You'd know that every single day is an international day of this, a national day of that. Some of them are so unbelievable.
Yep.
The way this game works is I have three days that are occurring tomorrow.
Yep.
One of them is a fake. You got to tell me which one it is out of the three.
So one's fake, two are real.
That's correct.
I'm still coming off the high of celebrating International Safety Pin Day from a few weeks ago.
Yes.
I've just taken my decorations down, so I'm keen to find out what I get to celebrate tomorrow.
Now, obviously, tomorrow is also May the 4th.
Yep.
Which is Star Wars Day. We're not going to go that easy. These are harder than that.
What are the odds, by the way, that Koshy's wearing a Darth Vader helmet on Sunrise tomorrow?
Yes.
Pretty
cash
likely.
Cow will definitely be in a Stormtrooper outfit. 100%.
They'll love that. They'll love that theme today. Okay, what do we got for tomorrow?
Okay, these are 3 days for tomorrow. Which one's a fake?
Yeah.
Petite and Proud Day.
Okay, what's that for?
People who are petite.
What would you define petite as?
On the official Days website, it's under 5'4".
Under 5'4", okay. Because I for some reason, got the word petite and patisserie confused briefly. And I would say I'm patisserie
and
proud. But petite and proud, I don't think I'd fall into that category. So,
that's one.
Okay.
Next one is Replace Your Socks Day. The perfect reminder to, hey, turn over your socks. Get rid of those old ones with holes in them.
And that just occurs once annually? Replace Your Socks Day?
Yeah, well, I guess the one drawing attention to it is once annually.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I wasn't aware of that one. So but what's your third option?
International Tuba Day, as in the big brass instrument. Wah, wah.
Just a day for all those tuba players out there to finally get the recognition that they missed the other 364 days.
Two of those days are occurring tomorrow. Actual days on the calendar. Tomorrow, starting in 10 minutes' time, one of them is a fake. Is it International Tuba Day, Replace Your Socks Day, or Petite and Proud?
Well, Petite and Proud Day seems very believable. That's fair enough. So I'll say that's in there.
All the petite people rallying together.
I am somewhat in shock that Replace Your Socks Day or International Tuba Day, that one of those two is real.
Okay.
That's where I'm stuck right now. So I'm just going to have to go out and say, because I can't imagine anybody needs a whole day for celebrating this, that International Tuba Day is made up.
Incorrect. Socks Day is made up.
Oh, no.
There's going to be massive celebrations in the streets tomorrow for International Tuba Day. I'll be going to the march with my tuba in hand.
I mean, a tuba's a nice instrument to complement other instruments in an orchestra, but is it good on its own?
Well, it needs a day. A day to be recognised.
You know what? I will go to YouTube and I'll find some tuba-only music and I will track that down to listen to in the next day. That's my guarantee to the tuba lovers out there.
That's fitting.
That is all we've got time for on the show tonight and for the week. If you want to hear the full thing back, search for Collective Noun on iTunes. You can get the podcast there. And we will see you Monday at 10.
Bye!
That's all from Collective Noun. Grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.